direction in a sea of chaos. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Join us now with Pastor Chris Gordon as we open the Word of God.
So glad that you have tuned in today to Abounding Grace. I am Pastor Chris Gordon of the Linden United Reformed Church. So grateful to bring these radio broadcasts to you. And this morning and this week on Abounding Grace, we're going to the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians, chapter 4, to consider with you what the new life in Christ looks like, what it is, what its design, what it is in our sanctification, that process of becoming and being conformed more into the image of Jesus Christ. This is a question, of course, today on Abounding Grace that is so basic to Christianity. And the question really goes something like this: since we have already been redeemed by God's grace, by His great mercies, and that it was never anything that we earned. Remember the great truth of Christianity that sets it apart from every other world religion is that we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone. We don't crawl our way up to God. Our works will never save us. We can't offer a sacrifice ourselves that God will accept, but God does that for us in His Son. His Son is given as the propitiation for the sins of the world. And so we don't earn that. We receive that. We embrace those promises by faith alone. And since that all comes by grace, then why do we do good in our lives? Why do we live out the Christian life in a way that pleases God? Well, it's a real practical question, isn't it? It's an important question. You can understand, of course, what it's reacting against. It's reacting against a certain kind of antinomian spirit. And again, antinomian means no law in the Christian life. There's nothing that guides a Christian life. We don't have to honor the law of God anymore. It's a certain kind of antinomian spirit that says, if we are saved by grace alone and nothing we do, then in the whole scheme of things, our living, our good works, our own lives, they don't really matter much. Paul addressed that in Romans chapter 6, didn't he? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And remember his answer, heaven forbid, how shall we who have died to sin live any longer in it? He says, you can't live that way because you've died. And if you are in Christ, the old man was killed when Christ died. And since he's raised, since Jesus is raised from the dead, you are raised to the newness of life. And so what we're looking at here on Abounding Grace this week is a reason why we must do good, a reason why the Lord desires our good works. There really are a few different reasons for this. Since Christ has redeemed us by his blood, we have a grand purpose. And Christ by his Spirit is renewing us to be like himself. And this is a way that we can show that we are thankful to God for all that he has done as we live out a life of praise, that we may be assured of our faith by its fruit, and that through our living, through our doing good deeds, others might be won to Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, that men would see your good deeds and glorify the Father who is in heaven. Well, all of these things are here described in the book of Ephesians. And you know, it's really interesting. If you were to study the structure of the book of Ephesians, it communicates this great truth to you. In the oddest fashion, in the middle of Ephesians, right at the end of chapter 3, remember there are 6 chapters, at the end of chapter 3, in the middle of the book, he gives a benediction. Here's the benediction. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or imagine, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church and by Jesus Christ to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Now, isn't that an odd place for a benediction? Right smack in the middle? Aren't benedictions usually found at the end of the book? Well, when we understand the structure of Ephesians, it really helps us to understand the design of the Christian life. Paul is saying, look, Everything God has done for you is yes and amen in Jesus Christ. In the early part of Ephesians, we have described God's amazing love for the Christian. You are chosen in Him before the foundation of the world to be holy and without blame. You are saved by grace in this wonderful mystery of the gospel that has been kept hidden, now is revealed to you. Remember what he said in Ephesians chapter 2. You are saved by grace through faith alone. And that is not your own works. It's a gift of God. Well, that deserves a benediction because it's all grace. It's all the sovereign workings of God. So the first three chapters of Ephesians are saying it's firm. It's sure. It will come to pass. Everything that he has said is based on what he has done. It's because all these things are done for you. And so Paul gives this benediction in the middle of the book. And then in chapters 4, 5, and 6, beginning at 4:1, he charges believers how to live, no longer under the law for condemnation, but as redeemed people, as those who are set apart to Jesus Christ, those who should live worthy of this great calling, since God has loved them to this degree. So the rest of the book is all application. Look at what it says in 4, verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. This, therefore, is so important. Paul is saying, if all these things are true of you, if you are believers, then there is a lifestyle that should accompany that. If God has poured out all these abundant blessings and mercies upon you, it carries with it a solemn responsibility on our part. There is the danger, of course, of only being a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word. So often in our circles, we hear the doctrine and then separate our practice. And people have criticized people who care very much for doctrine. You're just a hearer and you're not a doer. And it certainly should not be that way. That's not the design of the Christian life by any means. Paul is saying, walk worthy of this calling. He's saying, be what you are. And I think, you know, looking back at Romans chapter 6, when I preached through Romans chapter 6, I was amazed by this fundamental truth that Romans chapter 6 begins by speaking again of what Christ has done for you. You were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in the newness of life. He crucified the old man for us. But then in chapter 6, a little later, he tells us our responsibility. He says, likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So our responsibility in the Christian life is then to reckon what is already true of us to ourselves. We have to, in our own lives, in our own minds, reckon what already Christ has done, which is done in the past, which is firm, which is sure. We died with him and we were raised with him. And now the apostle says, you have to consciously reckon that to yourself. You have to live in light of that. You have to believe that. You have to understand that and reckon yourselves in all of life's struggles, in all of your temptations, in all of your struggles against sin, to tell yourself and understand you're dead indeed to sin, but alive. So that's the perspective of the Christian. That's the perspective of the Christian life. So he addresses this in Romans chapter 6, but also in Ephesians. And in Ephesians chapter 4, we get to this radical change of life, of lifestyle of living, because as Christians, if you are a Christian today, you are now going against the old nature in every way, the old sinful nature. You have now been conveyed into a whole new kingdom of light. You have now been made partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light, Colossians 1:12. That's the language of Scripture. In fact, Paul views our sanctification, our living, what we do, as a matter of strenuous, continuous effort on the part of the Christian. It does take work in sanctification. It takes hard work, discipline. There's nothing easy about a discipline in the life of the Christian. Prayer is discipline. Reading the Word is discipline. Tending to the means of grace is discipline. Listening to the Lord and His Word is discipline. Obeying is discipline. Sanctification is strenuous effort. Even in light of the fact, and this is what's so amazing as the way the Bible presents it, even in light of the fact that it is throughout a work of the Holy Spirit in you. That's the mystery. That's why the old theologians would call it the gospel mystery of sanctification. In Philippians 2, verse 12, we are told to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works within you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. Now wrap your minds around that. You have the responsibility to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it's God who works within you to will and to do for His good pleasure. Ephesians 2, the works are prepared beforehand that you should walk in them. So it is totally God's sovereignty, and yet you have the great responsibility to set yourself and give yourself to a sanctified, holy life that pleases Him. Now, that's where it's so important to talk about our doing. We're not talking about doing or getting right with God ourselves. That's the doctrine of justification. That's the doctrine when that one-time declaration is made when you believe in Jesus Christ, that you have His righteousness imputed to your account as if you had never sinned or been a sinner. You don't do anything to merit or earn that. That is something given by free grace. But we can talk about responsibility of doing in sanctification. Because sanctification is a response, as looking at the structure of Ephesians, to the grace that is already given, by which we've already been, through justification, declared righteous. Sanctification is the response of the Christian. It's the response birthed out of the grace given to us, by which we trusted in and believed in Jesus Christ. And now we live out who we are. Thomas Watson once said, "It's absurd to imagine that God should justify a people and not sanctify them. That He should justify a people whom He could not glorify. If you're justified, that means an entire new way of life will spring forth in you, in which you cannot go back to the former old way of living." That's exactly what Paul is after today, and as we're looking at here on Abounding Grace this week. Our holiness, sanctification. In fact, we read openly in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor." Well, how do you motivate people to that? How do you motivate people to want to do that? That's what we're really considering this week on Abounding Grace. And the motivation, my friends, is always the wonderful grace in the gospel that Christ has given to us. When we think so much upon His life, death, and resurrection, and Him going through, as this time of year we celebrate, the agony and torments of hell on the cross to save sinners, that should instill within us a desire to walk carefully, knowing that He had to pay for those sins, and that I should not live carelessly, since His will for us, now that we are saved as Christians, is our sanctification. We must believe in Him to have this kind of life. Have you trusted in Christ alone for salvation today and believed in Him in the promises of the gospel? Abounding Grace Radio was brought to you by the Linden United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. Worship services are at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. on the Lord's Day. You can visit us on the web at lindenurc.com. Also want to invite you to a conference I'm speaking at this Thursday night, April 8th at 7:30 p.m. at the Langley Canadian Reformed Church on evangelism, and Friday night, 7:30 p.m. at the Abbotsford Canadian Reformed Church, again on evangelism. We invite you to join us, and we thank you today for tuning in. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.